Now, the second meeting of the government's consultative forum on international security policy will take place today at the University of Galway. Yesterday's opening event at UCC was overshadowed by protests, with Micheál Martin telling those trying to shout him down that there was nothing to fear from the forum, which he called a constructive exercise. Today's agenda includes Ireland's recent term on the Security Council, UN peacekeeping and the triple lock process. Among the panellists this morning, Ray Murphy, professor at the Irish Centre for Human Rights, UCG, and security analyst Declan Power. And both of them join me now, and you're both very welcome to Morning Ireland. Let's start with the triple lock. It sets out the conditions under which defence forces may participate in overseas peace missions. And Professor Ray Murphy, do you want to retain the triple lock in its current form, with that mandate needed from the UN, approval by government and a vote of the Dáil?
Yes, we have a long tradition of successful peacekeeping within the framework of the United Nations. And the triple lock came about as a consequence of a government commitment during the second referendum on the Nice Treaty around 2002. And we have a long tradition of utilising our diplomatic or soft power within the framework of the UN. And there have been many efforts in recent years to undermine the structures of the UN and its processes. And if Ireland acts alongside its EU or other partners and sends troops to a peacekeeping mission without the authority of the UN, then it's not really supporting multilateralism as something which has been a cornerstone of our foreign policy since the foundation of the state.
All right. And so before I go, sorry for interrupting you there, Professor, before I go to Declan Power, you know, you talk about traditions. Traditions are great, but traditions should not stop you, surely, from making change if change is warranted. And I'm thinking recently of, you know, the necessity of the triple lock and confining deployment of forces to 12. Wasn't that tested in Sudan?
Yeah, but that wasn't the peacekeeping mission. There's a lot of talk about the fact that Russia may veto peacekeeping missions, but in reality, actually, it has not threatened to do so. We've been living with the veto since 1945, and it's not just the Russians. The Americans have it, the British, the French. And in fact, the only state that has directly threatened peacekeeping, the only two states are the Chinese and the United States. And the United States did so in about 2002 when it actually threatened to veto all UN renewal of peacekeeping operations because it wasn't happy about coming within the jurisdiction of the International Criminal Court. Mm-hmm. So this threat has existed for decades, and we've worked within that framework. And the final point I'd make is, even when the Security Council is unable to act, then actually the issue can be sent to the General Assembly. And if the General Assembly agrees by two-thirds majority, then that is a much more legitimate and representative body of the United Nations. So I don't think actually the full facts are sometimes being debated here.
Okay, and you'll be setting out those points today at the forum. But Declan Power, you argue differently?
I do, actually. Yeah. Good morning, Ray. We'll be seeing each other shortly. I come at this from a different perspective, and I'm looking forward rather than backwards. Ray has very valid points about our tradition of peacekeeping and our desire to want to uphold the values and ethos of the UN. And it's actually because of that that I'm arguing we should get rid of the triple lock, and we should couple that with leading a campaign to reform the Security Council and to get rid of vetoes for all. Now, that is a tall order, but that's no reason not to start it. But the triple lock shackles us, because Ray was saying that the Russians have said that they wouldn't veto anything. They also said they had no intentions of invading Ukraine just before they went and did it. We live in a very fluid world in terms of international security. And the idea that a sovereign nation like Ireland would retain something that limits its course of action, because that's really the crux of what we're talking about, I'm going to be talking about over the next few days. And it was one of the themes that emerged.
Okay, Declan,
course of action.
What do you replace the triple lock with? Because you're not suggesting, are you, that it would just be a sign-off by government on decisions of that nature?
Well, not necessarily, and I think we need to discuss that. But, I mean, first of all, I think we need to recognize that as a sovereign nation, we have a responsibility to take these decisions ourselves. The UN is an arbiter. I mean, oftentimes people maybe don't realize that peacekeeping missions have deployed where the UN is still sorting out its house, and they welcome the mission, and they, maybe a team of nations come together to start the process to get the maybe peace enforcement aspect together, and then a resolution comes through along the way. There were adjustments to the Triple Up to allow for something less than a full-fledged resolution to take place, but the fact of the matter is it's still an inhibiting factor, and it makes us look like a less than reliable partner to other peacekeeping contributing partners, other troop contributing partners. Now, you asked a question. One of the suggestions is that the European Union Council could take that place in our particular legislative process. Every country that we have partnered with in Western Europe on peacekeeping missions would want a UN indication of support at the very least. But we're the only ones who shackle ourselves to such a specific and legalistic thing. And going forward, if you look at the pattern of Russian behaviour and being disruptive, it's quite likely if some sort of a mission was to come up that they would seek to veto it on the knowledge that a country like ours then would be prohibited from being able to take part.
To come back to you, Ray, do you see that the triple lock as belt and braces for Ireland and for protection of neutrality?
Well, it is definitely linked to our military neutrality. And, I mean, I agree with a lot of what Declan says also. But either we're committed to the United Nations or we're not. And we are like, when we were on the UN Security Council recently, we were proponents of reform. But, I remember 30 or 40 years ago as a student, we were talking about Security Council reform. It's not going to happen in the short term. And we must support multilateralism, and the embodiment of multilateralism is the United Nations. And if we go outside the framework of the United Nations, we are undermining the effectiveness of multilateralism, and we're also compromising our neutrality to some extent. So I think the future for small nations is definitely within the UN, and we must fight to make it as effective as possible.
On the just a wider question to you both to finish on this forum, and whether, as Micheál Martin says, it is a constructive exercise or not, because much criticism, Declan Power, of it taking place at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it is hugely useful, because what this is doing is injecting much needed tangible knowledge into the public discourse, because you can't have a citizens' assembly until a critical mass of the citizens are familiar with the issues. This isn't like Repeal the Eighth or the Gay Marriage Referendum, where people were knowledgeable about those issues. Most of the times when I'm debating about this with people, they're focused on the past and they have very strong ideological antipathies to what's been discussed. But I noticed very few people who were protesting stayed for the afternoon sessions, which were about tangible things to do with maritime, undersea security and cyber security, things that we have to grapple with. And nobody that I know, and I'm in the company now at the moment en route to Galway University for this. And the point I'm making is nobody I know, certainly that's ex-Irish military or any of the academics or analysts who've come from abroad, are suggesting that we join NATO. But what we're all talking about is how we need to have a degree of a relationship with all of the different players, and supranational players, and be able to plug in as and when we choose.
That same question, Ray Murphy, you're attending, you're participating. Do we take it that means you support having this forum in the first place?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea, and I agree with Declan. And to be honest, in the discussions before the forum has taken place, at no stage has anyone ever tried to indicate what our views should be, or that there's a particular aim or objective apart from discussion and seeing what the issues are and how they should be addressed. And I think that President Higgins did a great favour to us all by really igniting the debate to a large extent in the comments that he made. And I look forward to this morning's proceedings and to hearing the outcome of these discussions, because I think the more informed people are, and the broader the discussions and perspectives, the more constructive the outcome ultimately will be.
Thank you both very much indeed, Professor Ray Murphy and Declan Power. It's 8:30.